You are listening to the sermon stream of the Mulvane Church of Christ in Mulvane, Kansas. Subscribe in your favorite podcatching app, or find and listen to any sermon online at mulvanechurch.com/sermons.
So this morning, we want to read from Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, we began that chapter with Ananias and Sapphira, with their holding out some of the profit that they had made, lying about that, being duplicitous toward the brethren and claiming credit before the Lord for that which they hadn't done. They were called out on that as Peter knew their hearts by the power given him of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit struck them. And there was a sense of awe on the church and of everyone, and a sense of fear as that occurred. And so the apostles took advantage of those times to preach the gospel. But in chapter 4, they had been told not to do that, and they had been told not to continually charge that the Jews had killed the Messiah. The Jews didn't like that charge, and so the apostles were arrested. In Acts 5 and 27, we begin to read that they were brought in, and they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as Prince and Savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we're witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they intended to kill him. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up, and he was claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him, but he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered." So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, we'll not be able to overthrow it, or else you may be found even fighting against God. They took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they'd been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. It's that last verse where I want to draw our attention and our lesson from this morning. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And so what we note is they kept right on. In this case, there was definite and there was intentional persecution of the church. There was an existing order to not preach Jesus. That order was ignored. And Peter said, we need to obey God rather than man. And then there was threatenings made. And after an advice from one of the members of the council to show moderation, the council showed great moderation. They didn't kill them. They only flogged them and sent them on their way. And so, yes, there is certainly there a persecution of the church, of the brethren, of the apostles in particular. But in spite of the persecution that was directed against them, and in spite of all the things that were contrary to their success and the roadblocks that the enemies threw up, they said that every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Now, I do not want to say that today we are facing, especially with these health things, I don't want to say we're facing a persecution. I think there's reasons to think of it is more of incompetent and ham-handed government action than, you know, directed, contrary directly to Christ persecution, although I know that many have concluded that it is such a thing, and if that's what your conclusion, that's your conclusion. But there are difficulties, no doubt. No matter what it is we would term how what we are facing, we face some difficulties. We face some impediments. We face things that have made it harder to do all of the things of Christian service, primarily our assembly together, but also all the other things that occur when brethren are able to freely assemble. We just aren't able to freely assemble as brethren and, or in other things either. There's not very many things we're able to just freely assemble, unless, of course, is one of those few things. And heaven help us, I don't know how they chose these things, except maybe someone by drawing straws, what the government deemed essential or not. So if you're essential, go ahead. But in any case, for most things that we do as Christians in the name of Christ, and for many of the things we do outside of that, but in our general walk as disciples and in our interaction with neighbors, in our interactions in the community, we are definitely being hindered. And so what do we do in a time when we're hindered? Well, here was a direct, flat-out, say-it-to-your-face persecution. They want to kill you persecution, but they settled just for flogging you persecution. What did these fellows do? Every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And so if we're ever faced with an all-out in your face, they want to kill you, but they'll settle for beating you type of hindrance to the gospel, what do? You do this. If we are under some other kind of hindrance, which we are under some kind of hindrances today, of a lesser degree, because I haven't heard anybody say, well, there's a few people who want to kill Christians, but they want to do that all the time, and they don't have much power. But there are things that hinder us. We are definitely these days under a hindrance. What do we do when we're under a hindrance? Every day, in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And so these are our marching orders to, under adversity, and even if under direct enemy fire, our marching orders are to keep right on. We think about this Old Testament example. We think about the priest in their daily service in the temple of God, first in the tabernacle and later in the temple. There was an everyday sacrifice. Exodus 29. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 one-year-old lambs each day, continuously. One lamb you'll offer in the morning, and one you'll offer at twilight. And so there was a morning and evening sacrifice. When did they do the morning and evening sacrifice? Each day. Well, what if it was raining? Well, offer the sacrifice. What if it's really hot? We're in one of those droughts that, you know, even the birds have gone for cover. We don't even hear the birds sing and the grass is all dried up and turned brown. What do we do? Well, get up in the morning and offer that sacrifice, and in the afternoon offer that sacrifice. But Lord, it's hot. Get out there. Well, Lord, there's enemies in the land. Lord, there was a bad harvest. Lord, it's too nice a day to be here in the temple. Couldn't we be down at the lake? Every day, morning and evening, every day, if you're the priest, you offer that sacrifice. You do that continually. And so they were to do this over and over. In Exodus chapter 30, it said also about some fragrant incense. You shall burn fragrant incense on that other altar, the altar of incense. He should burn it in the morning when he trims the lamps. And when Aaron trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense. And it shall be a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Lord, Aaron might say, I'm getting a little old for this. And what would the Lord say? I gave you sons. And so the sons of Aaron did it. And then when the sons of Aaron would say what? Well, I'm getting a little old for this. Who did it? The grandsons of Aaron did it. And so it was a perpetual incense. It's a thing that didn't go out. Lord, we're traveling today. Lord, we've been, you know, it's time to pick up camp and move it to a new spot in the wilderness that you're going to show us. That's all right. They'll do that and then we'll move. Get that set up before evening so we can have it again. And so these were perpetual things. These were continual things. These words, continual and perpetual. And like so many things of the Old Testament, this continued dedication and faithfulness, that as was instructed, wouldn't say unto the priests of old, it was always carried out, but it was always instructed. it was a lesson for us. Romans 15:4, whatever is written in earlier times is written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scripture we might have hope. Perseverance. Encouragement to be persevering. That's what we need from the Scripture. Why? Because there's times we might not want to persevere. There's times we need instruction. There's times we need reminders. Or again, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. These things happen to them as an example, and they're written for our instruction, upon him the end of the ages have come. And so their time is past. But though dead, they, like Abel, still speak to us, the Hebrew writer would say. And so we think about, even in our own life, in our own time, the faithful folks that we have known who are no longer with us. Well, their faith and their dedication, that's an encouragement to us. Well, here we have the divinely recorded record of folks like that. And so the apostles and the priest, what did they do and what should they have done? Well, they should have kept right on. They should have kept right on. Again, it says there in Acts 5 and 42, they kept right on teaching and preaching. And so the spiritual activity continued in spite of the dangers, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the hindrances. And so for us, what should we just keep right on doing, no matter what, the hindrance? Well, first of all, we should pray. We should pray. Actually, it's unique that I've seen in this crisis that we've had of the last, it's only been 3 months, hasn't it? It's only been 3 months. Yesterday, for the first time, I put on my Boy Scout uniform since all this stuff started. And if y'all know me, it would be strange. I put that on usually a couple times a week. But I had to go help a fellow do a thing where he became an Eagle Scout. And there's a board of review where we review the fact that he did all the things of scouting to reach the highest honor and become an Eagle Scout. And we had a very nice meeting out on a parking lot, about 10 feet apart. But I put my uniform on in Boy Scouts for the first time, and I found a receipt in my pocket. And I got the receipt out, and it was from a fast food place. And if I would have called in the toll-free number within 7 days, they would have given me a buy one, get one free on the next time I went to get a burger there. I haven't been there since, but I looked at the date on my receipt. It was March the 7th. That's 2 months. It's been 2 months. 2 months I haven't been back to that fast food chain yet, and I think my burger offer's over. But it's hard to believe. It's only been 2 months. It's only been 2 months. It was March the 7th, the last day that I did regular travel and regular activity without anything. And the next week, the world started shutting itself down. But that was only 2 months ago. And we think about, in these last 2 months, we've had a couple of occasions where national leaders, including our president, has asked us to have national days of prayer. And not that pro forma one, because there's a pro forma national day of prayer that they do every second or third or fourth. It's one of the Thursdays in May. So we're fixing to have that one. But nobody pays attention to that. It's just it's May. It's time to do that again. Huh? Okay, here you go. They have a day of prayer. Nobody pays attention to these things that are completely pro forma and on the calendar for years. We just don't pay much attention. But when there was an earnest need and our leadership said, we need to have this coming Sunday a day of prayer, well, a lot more people took it a lot more seriously. And we offered prayers on that occasion, as we are wont to do, as we'd love to do, because prayers are to be made at all times for everybody. But we need to just keep on praying. We don't need to be reminded by our president, do we? We were, and I'm glad that we were. But we don't do that just because we were reminded. That's a kind of just one additional push in the thing we're already doing every day anyway, right? Philippians 4 and 6, our standard orders. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so, in everything. Well, if things are going well, what do you need to be doing? Praying, making supplication, and thanksgiving. If things are going poorly, what do you need to be doing? Praying, thanksgiving, supplication. What if things are going really bad? Praying, supplication, thanksgiving. What do we do? This is what we do. We just need to make sure we keep right on. Matthew chapter 6. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, you know, what if we only got fed the day we said that? We'd probably be a little more diligent in saying it. Some rightly are, but a lot rightly aren't. wrongly aren't, I guess. A lot of them don't say daily prayers, but give us this day our daily bread, or Psalm 55. As for me, I shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. I'll go to him. I'll go to him continually. Even when what I have is complaints, even what I have is things of supplication and in need, I will go and continue to go evening and morning and noon. Keep right on praying. Another thing we need to keep right on doing is studying our word, meditating, reading and meditating. That's what studying is. Read and meditate. So read it, think about it, or hear it, think about it. Put your mind to this. There are some who, because of the hindrances of life in general, have been given more time at home because so many things that normally would take our time are cut off. What do we do with them? Well, let's use some of that for reading and meditation and contemplation of the things of God. Here's an instruction to a preacher, what he needed to do all the time. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Study. Study. Be diligent to present yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved, the old translations say. This is an everybody passage. That was a preacher passage. Here's an everybody passage. Acts 17:11. These synagogue members were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether the things were so. And so those who are presenting should be making regular study. And those who are being having the message presented to them, so they need to see, is this message from God? Is this exhortation correct? Is this exegesis of Scripture an explanation that we should then implement in our life? Is that a right thing or not? And so that we may, as it says in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us study. Let us pray. Let us meditate. Let us use such time as we have. And if the hindrances in life give us more time, use those well and wisely. And let us study more the Word of God. Let us keep right on doing that. We also note, and this one is right in our text, again, of Acts 5 and verse 42, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Let's keep right on giving that message. That Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Lord. He is, as some would say, Lord of my heart. And we're to sanctify Him as Lord of our heart. But He's also not just Lord of my heart in some personal, interpersonal, subjective way. He should be. But He's also Lord of all creation. He's the blessed and only sovereign. He is the King of kings. He is the one with all power and authority on earth. We need to preach Him as Christ. We need to preach Him as Lord. We need to take that message. This is what Jesus Himself did. And when He faced persecution and He faced opposition, He recalled this, Matthew 26:55. He said to the multitudes, "Have you come against me with swords and clubs to arrest me as a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, you didn't seize me." When they came to arrest Him at night, He said, "Why are y'all skulking about? Why are y'all sneaking around? Every day I said this publicly. Why didn't you do something then?" Well, because it was public and they didn't want to be caught out in public. But every day, Jesus would say the truth to people. Acts 2:46, the early church. Day by day, they continued with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking the meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. And so day by day, Jesus taught every day. The disciples met and did the things that disciples in His name do day by day. And again here in Acts 5:42, every day they kept right on. And so pray and study and teach Jesus as Lord day by day. Keep right on doing that, whether things are good or things are now going not so good. The exhortation to one another. And so to the outsiders, we say Jesus is Lord. And to those who know Jesus is Lord, we tell them, sanctify Him as Lord of your hearts and act in the right way. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Lord, it's too nice a day to spend time on that. We have an appointment down at the lake. No, you don't. Lord, it's a day for work. I don't know if I have time for that. Lord, it's a day of rest. I don't know. Lord, it's a day of this. Lord, it's a hard day. I don't know when we're going to get to the baby bear days when everything is just right. Most of them are going to be a mama bear day or a papa bear day. It's going to be too much of this or too much of that. But when's it going to be the baby bear day when it's just right? No, do these things day after day while it's still called today, lest we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is working to harden us all the time. Sin is working to deceive us all the time. And so we need an all the time exhortation and reminder. Brethren, if any man, Galatians 6, brethren, if any man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore that one in a spirit of gentleness, also looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. And so we don't do it with the spirit of arrogance. We do it with the spirit of humility. We do it with the spirit of, that could be me too. Likely, if we're completely honest with ourselves, well, that was me too. And so let us exhort and let us encourage. Brethren, admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with all. There's some kind of admonition in that passage for you toward everybody. Whether it's an admonition to them, an encouragement to them, a helping to them, or a patient with them. In that passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, there's something right and spiritual, there's something holy and helpful that you can do every day with everybody. And we're not going to have a day where there's too much of this or too much of that this verse need not apply. And so then also we're going to serve or we're going to minister. And we're going to do this day by day. You know, in this current problem we've had, one of the people, sets of people, that people have, I think, grown often to have some better appreciation for, is those folks who every single day go into care centers and help people. It, depending upon which set of stats you look at, a quarter to a third of all the deaths in this country from the current problem with the virus, it's been in some kind of long-term care facility. Because people are in there close together. The same staff who takes care of one then goes to the next room and takes care of another and on down the hallway. And so those were some of the first places that got locked down. And the people that have worked in those places, they have really, you know, if they've done it well, they've really done extraordinary work. They've had to keep themselves safe to keep the other people safe. But you see that day, that kind of service, and we've seen a few tragedies. We've seen a few tragedies around the world, because I haven't seen one in the United States, but I saw one in Canada, I saw one in France, I saw one in Spain, I saw a couple in other places, where in these care facilities, the staff got sick or the staff got overwhelmed, and the staff just walked off. And they just left those people under their care to, you know, catch as catch can, and they didn't do well. And people have rightly said how cruel and how heartless, although sometimes the people who left them, they were sick themselves. But in any case, what you see in those terrible, tragic situations is just how much is needed every single day. Every single day, there's care that is needed. Now, the greatest institution of care, and the one which we so often forget about and don't give honor to, is the one that the world is honoring today, although it's being overshadowed, but it's Mother's Day. Where's the greatest care institution in the world? Where is the most service and where is the most tireless dedication shown every single last day? Well, it's at home, right? So today's Mother's Day. And what happened if Mom would take a week off? Can you imagine Mom taking a week off? About the closest thing I can ever think of when I was a kid to Mom taking a week off was Mom being gone for a week. She was usually gone for a week when one of her parents or grandparents was sick and she was off caring for them for a week. So she wasn't caring for us for a week. But when she got back to our house, after not caring for us for a week, what was the house like? It was great. Everything was fine because Dad took care of everything. Why do you laugh? But y'all know my dad. Don't you think he took care of everything? No. Most of the time, us dads, what do we report? When Mom shows back up, what do we report? We're all still alive. Mom looks around and goes, how? I don't know how you survive. But every day there's care given. There's care given in our homes. There is care given in these places we call homes, these institutions we call homes. And that's always a nice thing when we put one of our relatives in the home. It's not a home. It's an institution. Some of them are good and caring and loving, I got to say. They really are. And they do good work. But it's not a home. But in the home, in these caring institutions, and some of them truly are, some of them absolutely aren't. But in these institutions and in our actual homes and in our neighborhoods for our neighbors, there is daily service that is just absolutely vital to occur. And when it doesn't occur, we see what a lack it is. But that's part of our job as Christians, to do this daily serving. In Acts chapter 6, there were widows of the church who were being fed day by day. There was a daily serving of food. That's how dependent some of them were. The church was in charge of a daily distribution of food. And the apostles in Jerusalem, they asked the apostle Paul, they said, please remember the poor. And he said, all right, if I gotta. No, the apostle Paul, when they said, please remember the poor, he said, this very thing we're eager to do. It's sort of like when the president asks us to pray. He's like, all right, fine, we're already doing that, no problem. We're eager to do that. Well, Paul said, they said to Paul, remember the poor. He said, we're eager for that. We're already doing that. That is one of the top things on our daily list already. Well, absolutely no problem, we'll do that. But we have a daily obligation of service. 1 John 3, we know love by this. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? If you don't take care of people in need, how does the love of God abide in you? John asked in a rhetorical fashion. And most of the time in a rhetorical question like that, what is the obvious answer? It's no, it don't. The love of God does not abide in you if you're not taking care of those whom you could. Lastly, I'm sure we can find more things to say about a Christian's daily duty to just keep right on, is to take up their cross and follow Christ. Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if anyone, so he says to all, if anyone, that's going to be you and me too. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We read in the book of Hebrews, this is what Jesus did. Hebrews 2:9. For we do see him who was made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. He served us to the end. He served us even to death, which we've commemorated today in the memorial feast that he gave. And we'll proclaim it that we believe he did this for us until he comes again to get us. We'll do that weekly, not daily, but we'll do that continually. But he tasted death for every man. And so we remember him continually. Remember him daily and in his feast weekly as he instructed. And all these things, he did the thing that was right. He went through each day serving God and serving others. Hebrews 5:8 to close. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all who obey him the source of eternal salvation. He is the one and only source of eternal salvation. He was the one and only true and perfect Son of the Father. And he gave his life, a perfect and sinless life, to be a sacrifice on our behalf, so that the rest of us who were not perfect and obedient sons of the Father could be adopted and reconciled back to him, so that the disobedient could be turned to the attitude of the righteous, so the wicked could be justified. And so gave us an example then of service and of care for us to do on a daily basis. And so, what are we going to keep right on doing? Praying, studying, meditating, telling the world that he is the Messiah, the Lord, the Christ, exhorting one another, serving as we have opportunity, and taking up our cross daily and following him, and thus proving to be his disciple.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from the Mulvane Church of Christ. Additional sermons and information available at mulvanechurch.com. Come see what a difference the Bible way makes.